Check 1, 2.
Hi, I'm sorry for a bit late. We're still waiting for the rest. Can you hear the noise? This is really Children's Day. It's the best. So we've got a bumper crowd of kids and then some new parents as well. So we're just trying to settle them down. So give us a couple of minutes. The new parents will come in. So just hang on for a while. Yeah. There's some people who are coming for the first time. I think Kurt is here together with the wife, Gun and Ivy Dawn. They're coming in, right? We give it a couple of seconds. Yeah, let your friends come in. Come join us. Thank you for coming in. Come. Can I invite you to come forward, Royston, as well? Come. Easier, because today I suppose it's going to be a bit more interactive. So the rest, can you all come forward? Easier. Come forward, la. Peace, la. Lawrence. Come, that row just behind. Silas, come. Come forward. Thank you. Yeah. Don't worry, Lawrence, we've seen you before. The only difference is last time your hair was not like that one. I know, I can tell. I also. Welcome. Thanks for being on time. Come, join us. Let's open the word of prayer. Let's come commit this before the Lord. Lord, Father, thank you. As we come before you, we ask that your presence abound. As we bring this service before you, whatever that's going to be done, every presentation, every word, let it bring forth the word of God. Let there be the spirit that will just motivate us. Let every sharing, any thought, be acceptable sacrifice to you. We commit all we have to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I told Philip to just show me something. He's going to play some quick video. I think this is somewhere in Catalonia and Barcelona. I just want to show you something I thought was pretty interesting. This is what the people do in Spain. Have you seen this before? I just play quickly, and then I want to just share and I will take him there. As you can see, they're trying to put the people up. Done? Some more. Thank you. Today's Straits Times article. People like Silas and I still read Straits Times. Do you see this today, Silas? Let me just read for you. Members of this group, they formed this thing called the Castell during the contest final in Tarragona in Catalonia. Catalonia is Barcelona, right? Spain. Okay. The Castell's human constructions in the form of towers, each Castella stands on the shoulder of one below and reaching to 4 to 10 levels in height. For more than 200 years, the human towers, which you saw, which are built by organized groups, have been part of Catalonian culture. Building a tower requires the work of 3 groups. You saw one forming the base. So the base are those people from which people stand upon them. Acting as a cushion for falling castellas. So number one, you have to take the people who fall on you. Then the second group, you create a tower. And then the third, which comprises 3 layers of people with one acting as the pinnacle. Pinnacle, as you saw, there's some picture. Can I show the picture of the Straits Times article, the steel form? If you look at the picture, it is all the way to the top. You see someone right at the top. Okay? It's the smallest picture down there. Can't see, sorry. However, the members of the Castells, these people are not professional athletes. All these people you saw is part of their culture. While people from all walks of life are welcome to take part, there's only one prerequisite. Those who join are expected to be in good physical shape. You can imagine if your shoulder cannot take, once you tumble, the rest will tumble. No? It's as simple as that, right? So Don, if you're okay, but Lawrence never exercise, my goodness, they fellow tumble, we'll all die together. The Cantonese called Lam Jia Tai Se, yeah. Those who join are expected to be in good physical shape. They must be willing to put in the hours to train for something they are not paid for. So you just do what you can. Come join us, Kurt and Kelly. Welcome. Can we just ask you to come forward? Come. Can we just invite, can we just welcome this, my friend Kurt. I'm seeing the wife for the first time, so I'm really glad to see them. Come, have a seat. So the 28th edition of this competition started way back in the 1930s, saw more than 40 teams. Once the activity was only open to men. So last time only people like Dawn and myself do. But guess what? The Castells are now open to women as well. Children are also allowed to participate. One condition, wear special headgear. As I saw this activity, I'm reminded, isn't this somewhat like the church? We build upon people, not that we make use of people. So as we all now happily just leave our children there, much like childcare, right? There are 7 adults, including 2 interns of mine, people who work for me. They not only work for me Monday to Friday. This intern, so responsible, she comes and then she brings her boyfriend, and they're not all serving the kids. So the two of you here, the kids are down there. Kelly, this is the best time to bring your children, because today is Children's Day. And I tell people like Lawrence, right? Make no mistake, the only reason why you're here is because of your kid, right? But that's our strategy. I tell you our strategy. Our strategy is to make the parents come because we get to the kids first. There's no deception here. I tell you exactly what we're doing. We win the kids. If we win the kids, the parents got a chance. Tell people who have been hooked to this, Vanessa, can you later talk to Lawrence and tell them the strategy is working? We make no pretensions. That's the only way to win the adults. We get the kids first, hook them, and then from the kids, when the kids like it, they'll say, Papa, I want to go. Then you have no choice but to come. And hopefully the strategy works. But as we come before the church, I also understand as we build, the shoulders must be strong, but we build upon each other, isn't it? If we build upon someone, then you stand on the top. But it's not the last person who takes the glory. In the church, the glory goes to God. But we build. We stand on someone's shoulder and then we build. And I thought that was a very good illustration. And the best part is not only confined to men, because now the Castells is read to you. Even women participate, even children. Children, only thing is, wear headgear. Do you read about the massacre in Thailand? The guy just went berserk, right? He killed how many? 38. Was there a pair of twins? My wife was telling me, a pair of twins of 3-year-olds. And then a lot of them, when they received the dreaded call, and then they call, and then they go down, and then some of them went to pay their respects, and they bring a towel or that half-drank milk bottle of their own 3-year-old. All of us parents, we hear that, my goodness, I also don't know how to, words fail me. But in this day and age, funny things happen, right? But I tell you what, notwithstanding all that, it is therefore important to know, and that's where I wanted my friend Hong Yi to come, that we need to understand our identity. Our identity is not found in unforeseen circumstances, unfortunate circumstances. Our identity is found in the God. And the more we know our identity, the better it is for all of us, so that we are braced for impact. When something bad happens or something that, unforeseen, not something you want, when something happens, well, of course, there'll be good things as well. But whatever happens to us, we know our identity is found in God. Last week, I showed some pictures. I don't know whether we have the pictures again here. I showed some pictures. I even have a picture of Silas way back in Hua Chong. Maybe Winnie haven't seen. Big, fat, chubby fella. And then he says he's handsome. This is deluded. Our identity is not found in how we look like. Can you imagine Winnie, maybe 20 years ago, the hair would be some Air Force style. All of us look different. Our identity is not found in how we look, in fashion, in 18 or 20. Our identity is found in God. And with that, I want to kickstart this whole entire series. And today, I got a psychologist friend. He's not psycho, he's a psychologist. You understand? There's a difference. Huh? He's someone that I always trade barbs with, and then we talk. And whenever you talk to him, it's very, very pressurizing, because he always likes to ask those kind of questions that make you crawl underneath your skin. But sometimes that's what we need, right? We need to challenge ourselves. We need to be able to brace for impact. We need to hear things from all sorts of life. So it helps that his surname is also Go. We also used to be from the same secondary school, Tio Bo, St. Andrews. Yeah. And for some reason, we just have been connected, although he's now in the church and I've moved on. But whenever I speak to him, I learn so much from him. We engage intellectually. Isn't that good? Iron sharpen iron. You don't want to find people and then wood rub wood and then both get depressed and commit suicide. You want to find people who sharpen you. Talk to people who make sense. Talk to people that engage you. Talk to people who will bring some purpose, bring some direction, bring some paradigm shift, bring some tangential way of looking at things. So without further ado, I talk too much. I want to introduce Hong Yi. Can we just welcome him?
Testing. Are the slides there? Yeah, just on it. Just on the slide first, then let's sit down first. Yeah. You can sit down first,
My goodness, I feel so humbled today.
Why? That's what old friends are for, right? Okay, my name is Hong Yi. Let me share a little bit first, and let me make sure I got all my clicker, everything properly first, and see whether it's working. It's working. When Daniel first spoke to me about it at the time, and I was telling him, hey, why do you want to speak about an issue of identity? Identity, everyone has their own opinion about it as well. And we spar for a while. And then next time he told me, hey, Hong Yi, I got an inspiration. Right? It's called the Four C's. Or maybe five, I can't recall. But basically, and then he continued talking about it. And the more he talked about it, the C increases to so many C's. So that is supposed to be the series of talk. I'm supposed to start the first one called Identity. But I look at all the C's. So many C's, C liao. But anyway, I look at all the C's and I told him, hey, actually, there's only one C that is the most important. And if you were to continue talking about the rest of the C's, make sure you share with people that it's only one C that is the most important. And I let you think which is the C. I give you 1 second to think what is the C, and then by the time I finish my presentation, I will ask you again, what do you think is the C that you're talking about? So give you 1 second, think about it. Don't need to share everybody one. If you want to make sure that it's what you say, just maybe write into your iPhone so that nobody can say that you bluff one. You know, think what is the C that you're thinking about. Oh. Everybody, deep thoughts. Okay. Isn't that difficult, huh? Can go by alphabet, can go by number 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. Hey, by the way, hey Daniel, how come got different color one? Blue and light blue. Is there a meaning? Oh, okay, can. Okay, good. So think through a C, right? Then we should start. So first thing I want to do is I want to give thanks to Joanne. She has been the one who has been interacting with me. So I'm not sure whether, does everybody know who's Joanne? Okay, good. So thanks. We can please convey it to her or she can watch the video and shows that I have registered my thanks for her. She was the one who interacted with me and she was the one who beautified my deck of slides. She said that, hey, we need to move your here and there because the YouTube will block your thing. I said, good, thank you very much. I am perfectly fine with it. Then she also tell me, hey, we need to make it 16:19 instead of 4:3. And I said, sure, anything you want to do is also fine. I can adapt to it as well. So I just want to thank her for it. But I was asking her whether she's around and she said, no, because today is Children's Day and she's busy as well on that side as well. So I said, unfortunately not, but she said her husband will be here. So maybe she will look towards you to say, hey, what are the things you have learned? So just preempting you first, just in case it happens as well. Okay, okay, now let's start with a thing. I hate to read passages because I think my voice isn't as good as Daniel who can sing in worship. Just now he was busy preparing his worship as well. So I just want you all to turn to the Bible, Job chapter 1. Okay, so if you don't have a Bible, maybe it's time to beg and borrow and steal from someone beside you. Or it's a good chance for you to say hi to the person because the person who does not have the Bible most probably is a new person coming in, right? So take out your Bible and look at Job chapter 1. So, and you talk around to the person beside you. If he or she doesn't have a Bible or not looking at an iPhone or iPad, right? Maybe you'd like to share with the person beside you. That's the most important thing. What I say about Job chapter 1 is this. So yesterday morning when I woke up the time, the Lord spoke to me and said, hey, you're going to speak at the church. And what I'm going to do is that this morning in your quiet time, you will read a passage. And from the passage, you will get inspiration on what to speak. I said, oh Lord, why are you giving me such things? Always so last minute one. And then I said, okay, Ken. So I read Job chapter 1. So, okay. So guys, I want you to spend the time reading Job chapter 1. But keep in mind two things as you read Job chapter 1. Who is Job? And what did the Bible describe Job? So I give you 3 minutes to read through. I expect you to read very fast, but it doesn't matter. And then we'll see how. Job chapter 1. And for those of you online, please look at it too. So I repeat again, as you read the thing, Job, ask yourself, who is Job and how did the Bible describe Job? All of you like quite serious. It was a silence. I look at Daniel and I think he's read finished because his fan is moving around, his fingers. Okay, good. So I call it the face test. Everybody looking at me and so must be finished already. Everyone waiting. Okay, so I was telling Daniel I am a very interactive person because I use the word person because I don't want to use the word preacher. I'm a facilitator and a psychologist and I really cannot stand one-way communication. Okay, so that's not my style. So let's try it and see whether we can make it more interactive. There's only so few of you. So Daniel, I need your help. I really arrow you. Can you just come up here for a while? Okay, guys, so let's try, okay? What did the Bible describe Job? Anybody want to try anything so that Daniel will write? Please give him some work for him to do, okay? So what is in the Bible? Did they talk about it as well? You need to shout or I can pass the mic to you. Upright. Okay, where is it written? Where is it? Which one? Verse 1, verse 5, what? Verse 1. Okay, good. Upright. What else? What else did the Bible talk about? Then Job. Huh? Blameless. Okay, which verse? Okay, good. See, everything comes in the first line, right? Anything else? Fear God. Good. Which verse? Okay, good. See, verse 1 talks a lot about him, right? Sean Eva, good. You're not fast enough. He's Daniel can still smile, so you should be faster so he can write faster. Any more? Verse what? Good. Greatest man, right? Not complete. What was it? What was the complete sentence? Greatest man among all the people. It's correct. See, he has even have a title some more. Okay? Can. Any more? How about those at the back? Actually, those at the back were staring at me even faster than those in front, so I better ask. The further you are, the better it is for me to ask you. Or maybe I should ask Daniel. Daniel, you got anything yourself that you want to add? Why you like that one? Cannot multitask. Anymore? Anybody else? Only the first three sentences, or first paragraph only. Did not sin, correct? Good, well done. Now, if you ask yourself, right, as you look through all this, right, do you see any of the seas appearing? Remember, just now we have a lot of seas, right? Did anybody count how many seas we have? Doesn't matter. So, is there any of the seas appearing here? He did warn you, say, I'll be interactive. He did warn you, I'll ask you questions. And so, any C's? No C's? Daniel, how? Any C's?
Character, right?
Mm-hmm. Good. Anything else? Can you see? Let's see if I would go back. Would it help?
Did not sin could be circumstances.
Did not sin could be circumstances. Oh. We have the choices part.
You mean the choice is
done evil? Yep. And yep. Blameless, courageous. Anything else? Why? Okay. And also, if you read, and you all seem to maybe skip the part, how many animals he have, how many servants he have. But was Job defined by all these sort of things? So I feel that the most important thing about Job is actually this part. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. It speaks a lot about the identity. Well, the Bible starts with the first part about him, rich man, whatever, you know, a lot of success. And the world tends to look at it from the angle too. Then within the same chapter itself, he lost everything. And he, what else? What did he do? He got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground in what? Worship. He didn't fall to the ground cursing and swearing God. He fell to the ground in worship. And in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. I think that's the most important thing if you want to understand about identity. Is your character or your identity or who you are so strong that even in the midst of all the challenges, then the Bible purposely started so high, lower it down to so much, and yet he was blameless. That is the starting point of my conversation today with you all. Okay, keep that in mind as we go to the next part as well. So let's go back to the beginning. That's the only way to understand, right? So Daniel introduced me as a psychologist. In the last 9 months, I decided to start my lessons on theology. And one of the theology that I specialize in is called theology of work. Some of you may have heard of it, some of you may not. Basically, you understand work from God's angle. So let's look at the beginning and what does it mean from there as well. Look at verse Genesis 1:26 and let you read on your own. As you read through Genesis 1:26, you ask yourself, what are the key things that capture your attention in Genesis 1:26? Daniel, thank you very much. Actually, you can shift it away if you want to. Okay, guys, so if you look at it, what is the key things that capture you when you look at Genesis 1:26? Anyone? Okay, good. And image and likeness. So that, I think, is a key thing of Genesis 1. Sorry, I'm trying to get used to this. Genesis 1:26, which is that we are created in God's image and in our likeness. What does it mean? Image means basically you look like God. Likeness means you have the characteristic of God. In the beginning, that's how God created us. We are not like angels. We are not like devils. And even the angels are envious of us. That's what the Bible talks about here as well. Because we were created in his image and the character of God. Let's look at the next one. Verse Genesis 2, 5 to 7. Read it and ask yourself, as you read that, what came to your head? Or what's the interesting one? It's always good to go back to the Bible, right? Anybody? Anything? Oh, I've read for 200 times already and still the same. Got breath of life? Good. Anybody else? Anybody will tell me, now no straps. Living being? Good. Very spiritual people talking about breath and living being. Very good. Anything else? Hey, Daniel, how? Anything else? Ah, make from dust too. Okay. What I want to share with you for this verse is actually this part down here. There was no one to work the ground. You know what does it mean, right? It means that man was created before the garden. Why do you think man was created before the garden? The garden. What does look after means? Work. So God wanted us to work. Work is not wrong. Work is part of the process of it as well. Then the Lord took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. That's why he reinforced that point too. So work is part and parcel of our purpose. Let's go. Look at the next one. Genesis 2:19. As you read that, anything jumps up at you. Ah. And what else? What else do you say? Whatever man names, what did God say? Did he say, huh, you call this a tiger? Are you sure or not? I better change the idea. I think it's wrong idea. And you call this a chicken? No, I don't think so. And what else did he do? He brought the animals to Adam. He never asked Adam to run around. Hey, go and chase after this and call it. You know what's the... So what do you understand when you see that? See this verse. What makes you realize as you listen to this? You must share the joke, eh? What do you realize when you see that? Man has dominion, and our God choose to withhold his power. To let man co-create with him. God, in all his infinite power, choose to withhold his power. Because he created man to co-create with him. That is another dimension of who we are. We were created to work. We were created to co-create with God. Could he have named all the animals at one stretch? He could. Did he want to? No. He even made an effort to bring the animals and ask Adam to name it. So that's another dimension of who we are. Then he said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. And most people will know the helper was Eve. And so the story continues. Then he said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, which is what Silas mentioned just now as well. So if you were to summarize and understand Genesis, it's basically this. We have fivefold purpose. Worship God, work the garden or work itself, make decisions on behalf of God because God wants you to do that, have an intimate relation with each other. That's why we are never created to be alone. And to reproduce, carry on a legacy, not just physically, but mentorship along the way as well. This is the fivefold purpose of who we are. If any of us forget any of these fivefold, that is how challenges happen. Just now, Daniel talks about the forming of the tower, right? From Spain, is that Daniel? Was it from Spain? What's the most famous tower in the Bible? Tower of Babel. Anybody remember where is it taken from? Genesis chapter. I don't have the slides because I'm just going with the flow. Where is it from? I see some people reacting now. I see some people like waiting for me to give the answer. I don't have my phone and I don't have a Bible beside me, so I'm actually waiting for y'all too. I think it's Genesis chapter 11. Am I right? Correct. If you read the Tower of Babel, or Babel, depending on how you want to pronounce it, right? They fulfill everything down there except one thing. They work. They came together and work. They came together and have intimate relationship as one because they decided together as one, they were built. The tower. They wanted to leave a legacy behind so that we can reach the heavens. They were making decisions, but they failed at one aspect, the most important aspect. They took God out of the picture. And that's why even if you have 3 or 4 out of 5 correct, and if you take God out of the picture, you are wrong. So when we talk about identity, we must be mindful that it's either all or none. And some people ask, isn't that very challenging? Yeah, that's why aside from God, it's almost impossible. And if you look at it further, right? If the last bullet point is called reproduce, our current society is not reproducing enough. That itself is also a problem. So you can worship God, you can work, you can make decisions on behalf, you have intimate relationship with your spouse, but you choose not to have kids. That itself is also wrong. Is it politically correct to say so? Obviously not lah. But is it what the Bible said? Yeah. So our purpose is intrinsically related to these five areas. But we do know that we're on this side of heaven now because sin has fallen in as well. So this was the original purpose. This was God, what God wanted us. That's why we spent our time reading Genesis about it as well. The one way to understand the Bible is that the Bible is actually divided into two major sections. The creation mandate, which is Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and the redemption mandate, which is from Genesis 3 all the way to the last book of the Bible. So the bulk of the Bible is on the redemption side. But if we want to know the original purpose, we need to understand Genesis 1 and 2. And that's why just now we spend our time reading some of the passages from Genesis 1 and 2, talking about the purpose. So what happened with the fall? We know the fall. And then Eve took the fruit, not an apple, a fruit. Maybe next door they are talking about apple, but it's also fruit. And because of the fruit, they fell. And different consequences of it. One of the consequences of it is they hid from God among the trees of garden. So after they took the fruit, they hid from God. They got frightened. The other thing was, God came and asked them, hey, where are you? Their reply, I was naked, so I hid. He said, who told you you were naked? That was God's conversation with Adam. What else? Adam continued. The woman you put here. You never say Eve. Started third party. So in psychology, it's called third party. When I use third party, means it basically I'm trying to dissociate myself with the person. The woman you put here gave it to me. All these things are all happening in Genesis 3, yeah? Within a few minutes. Actually, within 2 seconds, a conversation like that only, 2 seconds. Okay? Then God said 3 curses. But we are only looking at the third curse. So the first curse was on the snake. Now you're crawling around. So that means originally the snake must not have been crawling around. Second curse was on the woman. Childbearing is going to be very tough for you. But this is the third curse. Why not you just take some time to read and let me answer the question. What was curse in the third curse? So anyone? What was cursed in the third curse? Was man cursed? Was Adam cursed? No. The ground that is. Was work cursed? No. The ground that was cursed. That means the original intention of work still remains. And that intention started even before the fall. So work itself is never a curse. What was cursed is that it became harder for you to work to produce the thing that you have. So in summary, what happened after the fall was this. Four relationships were destroyed. Man relationship with God was destroyed. That's why he hid from God. Man himself was, his relationship with him himself, his identity was destroyed. That's why he felt nakedness and shame. Man relationship with another man was destroyed. Daniel started blaming his wife Karen for it as well. That's what is a man-man relationship. And the last one is that man relationship to earth was destroyed because the ground became cursed. Four relationship was destroyed. And so when Jesus came again and he came at the cross, what did he redeem? Man to God? Anybody else? Man himself? It's like, you continue naming, you get everything. All four. And the answer is all four. When Jesus came, he redeemed all four relationships. He didn't redeem so that you got a one-way ticket to heaven, which is the first one. It's called the Proclamation Bible, our gospel. That's the first one. The other three is called the Social Gospel. Happens in the 19th century. Because it started with the social gospel, that they throw God out of the picture. That's why the proclamation became even stronger. And up to today, we are still facing what we now know as the emphasis is on the first one. So when someone accepts Jesus, or when Jesus comes into the person, it's not just a one-way ticket. Your life should be changed, your relationship should be changed, and you are better steward with the things that God has given to you. If you have a one-way ticket, and that's why when I was very young and people challenged me, you mean I accept Jesus Christ, I can go to heaven and nothing else changed? I say, yeah, I couldn't answer the person. But as I realized, no. If you really understand what it means, right? God came in the form of Jesus to redeem all four. And one of them is identity, which is supposedly the conversation today. Because man felt naked when he took the fruit. So all four things are redeemed. You have to remember this. Because if you don't, you are not sharing what we call the full gospel. And that's why when a person accepts, or when a person says, you need to believe that all things will change. His relationship with God, his own life, his relationship with others, and he becomes a better steward of the things that you have. If you don't, you start to ask why. Have we been sharing a limited Bible or a limited salvation? Or have we told Jesus that, hey, your work on the cross is not complete. It's only one aspect. And the answer is blasphemy, if you think so as well. So I brought you through from the beginning, which is in the beginning, God created us with five purposes. From the five purposes, sin came in and it destroys four relationships. But thank God we have Jesus, and Jesus came in and he redeemed all of them as well. One of the interesting things I heard Daniel was saying just now, and he was not apologizing for it, is that we go after the children and we pray that you are here so that, you know, God will touch your heart as well. When he was saying that at the time, the first thing that came to my mind, it sounds like a McDonald's strategy. That's how McDonald's does that. Happy meal, and then that's how you win people for Christ and whatsoever as well. Yeah. But maybe that one is not a good steward, asking people to eat McDonald's too much along the way. Okay, so we have to be mindful, and we shouldn't be ashamed, because the issue is that when we bring the good news, it's good news is not just your one-way ticket, right? Good news is we believe that your life must change. We believe that if you're facing challenging situation with the people around you, and most of the time, challenging situation is with the people around you, okay? And you become better at the resources that God has given to you. I'll talk more about that later, but let's move on. So what's the application? Many applications along the way as well. One of the applications is the word vocation. Vocation comes from a Latin word voca, which means to call. So vocation and calling is actually the same word. And if you believe there's a calling, there must be a caller. Does it make sense? I'm a calling, right? Somebody's calling me. Who is that? Obviously, that person is who?
God.
That's all. But we have since reduce the word calling to only in the people in the clergy setting. And we reduce anybody else to vocation, which is wrong. each of us in the job that we are in, maybe in the army, maybe anywhere else, maybe playing the guitar like what Silas is a vocation, because it is an act of worship to God. But we have since put what we call a hierarchy of jobs, which means that we think that different jobs have different priorities. But in God's sight, it doesn't matter. The most important thing, are you working? Or, most important thing, are you using your talents for Him? If you have the chance and you recall the parable of the talent, I can't recall now where it's, right? Maybe I'd have it. Let me. The parable of the talents, Matthew 25, 14 to 30. Why don't you just turn to it now? You realize that I have gone away from my slides. That's why I keep on moving around. Right? Matthew 25, 14 to 30. Can I ask somebody to read for us so that Daniel can pass the mic to the person? Or he can arrow himself? Yeah.
Verse 14.
Yeah. Yep. 1-4. Correct, right? Am I right? Okay. Thank you, Silas, for the encouragement.
Again, you will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went on at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more, but the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the masters of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrust me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His masters replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrust me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His masters replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return and I have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Thank you very much. How do I address you?
Miss Go. Okay. All same surname.
There's a verse in the Bible that says that when you read out the words, you'll be even blessed by it even more. Okay, so that's it. But when you look at it, right, what did God say to the first and second servant, the one with the 5 and the 2-1? What did he say when they give it back to him? Well done, right? And what else? Not only that, good and faithful servant, correct? Huh? Did he say one better than the other? Was there any indication that said the 5 is much better because you brought in 5 times more? No, right? Okay, what did he say about the one with the 1 goal? Or 1 talent? Ah, take note of the word, is lazy and wicked. And you know what happened? He returned the principal sum. He didn't even waste the money, you know. He returned it, you know. So I've heard people who say, hey, our God expects interest. That's a sermon for some things if you want to. But you know what does it mean, right? It means that each of us has a skills, a talent. And if you do not use the talent, what is God calling you? Wicked and lazy. That is very strong words. You have a skill, you have a talent, you don't use it. It's called wicked and lazy. Okay? So let's try the next thing. These are all applications, right? To understand what is our identity, right? And our identity has implication to the skills and the things that we have as well. Let's make it more interactive. Can I have 4 volunteers? I'm looking at Daniel. Come, anybody want to come up? 4 volunteers. Doesn't really matter. Can the first one just come up first? It's easier. Okay. Okay, can. And you lah, correct, right? Okay, good. Let's go one by one first. TC, can I use you as the first one first? Okay, come, 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 come. And unfortunately, I forgot to bring my nicely printed one, so I have a horribly written paper. Okay, let's try one by one, okay? Okay, TC, you're holding this. What is this called?
Skills. Louder. Skills.
One to everyone. Skills, huh? Okay, can I? Skills. Okay, let's try, okay? Okay, Daniel, what is this?
Vocation.
Thank God he can read my handwriting. This is the most worstly written one. Okay, vocations. Okay, Ken?
Identity.
Okay. Good, identity, yeah? Okay, last one. I'm sure you can read this one.
Communities.
Okay, good. So now show everyone the thing. Okay? And just be there for a while. And Is this one blocking? Okay, good. Okay, well done. Now, if you are trained as a career counselor, of which I am, right? You always say, hey, what type of skills you have? And then we decide what type of job you should be. Does it make sense? And it makes sense too, right? Because, hey, if you identify your skills and those people with that type of skills, like for example, identify you that you like to talk to people, you like to con people, you like to convince people, then maybe your skill is being a lawyer. which is a good one. Okay, hold on. But it doesn't make sense, right? Because I could be doing all those things, but it doesn't mean I must be a lawyer, right? I could be a salesperson, right? Or keep it simple. I'm good in mathematics. Does it mean I must be a mathematician? No. But that is how currently career counselors are doing it. What you're good at means that that's what you are. But that cannot be. This direction is wrong. It is actually what we are doing, and that's why God has already given us the skills to do it. But the question then is, our vocation is dependent on our identity. And our identity is dependent on
communities.
What does it mean, if you understand this? It means that communities will determine who we are, that will determine the job that we do, and then we will understand the gift that God, or the talents that God has given to us. Do you have any questions, the four of you? Since you are the standing up and just looking nicely at me. You should be looking at the camera, not me. Everybody is staring at you, my online. Do you have anything? Or you like, thank you for worry, is it very strong? Any questions about this? This is very important. That means that let's not talk about what you do until we first know who you are. But who you are is dependent on, again?
Communities.
Okay. I like her voice more than me. So that's what I asked her to say. Okay, so what does community means? Okay? What does community means to you?
The people around us.
Check 1, 2, family, office, colleagues, church.
Okay. The people whom you see all the time.
That has your husband.
Beyond family. The society.
That's very big.
Anything else?
Not that I can think of at the moment.
So, on average, I have to do a career counselling once in 3 to 4 weeks, informal one. And I decided, after understanding this, to try a new process. So instead of telling people, which I last time did that, oi, vocation very important. Okay, never mind. Okay? But instead, I keep on telling, so that I used to ask them, hey, what do you like to do? Obviously, this gentleman likes to play soccer, or whatever, what you like to do. And from there, I understand his vocation. After I understand this concept, I decide to reverse it. So I started to go all the way to this side again and ask, what are the communities that you are involved in? Okay, Daniel already given us some of the answers, right? That's how we were thinking about it. His wife thinks of him so heavily, that's why she thinks only at home, closest to him, which is work. Do you have any more now, Ray?
Besides national?
Maybe the friends that you hang out with a lot.
How about the people in the same role just now as well? Oh, no. Okay, never mind. We'll talk about that later. Okay, how about you? Any more communities you have?
Your colleagues?
Okay. So think with me. If my communities affect my identity, and if I were to ask this question, in general, I found that people could only identify 2 major communities, work and home. Maybe if you're Christian, you add Christian to it. If you don't have Christian, down, 2. During COVID, which one died? Work. So if you only have 2 communities and 1 died, what does it mean? Stay at home, yeah. But what does it mean? So imagine, you have 2 communities only because work and home. Now, work died because I got fired or I got retrenched or whatsoever. What does it mean from that? That means my identity is slashed by 50%. Then does it come as a surprise that we have so many mental issues during COVID season? This is supported psychologically too. Why? Because psychology says that the more communities you have, the more social support you have, because you can draw on the strengths of others. Because as humans, we were not born to be alone. Why? Because our God is a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's why we were never meant to be alone. And that's why if when one of the communities is down and you only have 2, your identities are being affected. Why am I doing this? Because Daniel came on reminding me that I'm a psychologist, I'm also a Christian, and so I better bring in some concepts, besides just talking about verses in the Bible as well. And so that's what it means. And that's why we have so many challenges when our community. And that's why it's very important to be in the community. Because your community will determine who you are to some extent as well. Ken, can you give a thanks to all the volunteers? You can keep the paper. If you're interested, there's this book called Me Plus We. TC, which part you said you are from? TG, which part are you from in Malaysia? KL. There's this gentleman called Alvin Ng. He's in KL. You may like, if you have the chance, the next time you go back to KL, go and get the book. It's very hard to get the book. The only way to get a book is to get a Kindle book in Amazon, unless you get it from Canaan Land in KL. Okay, so it's a very good book to remind us that our identity is not just in me, it's in the community that we are in. And me plus we, right, will talk about our purpose in life. Excellent person, a lot of biblical concept is written into the book for a secular world. So it's not just for Christians. Good gift too, because it's written in a way for you to work through the exercise if you want to as well. Maslow hierarchy of needs is something that everybody is quite used to, right? After you understand my message, Ray, you ask yourself, what's wrong with Maslow hierarchy of needs? By the way, the psychologists do not fully believe in the Maslow hierarchy of needs because there are some things that doesn't make sense from a If Maslow hierarchy of needs says that lower level needs must be settled first before you go higher level needs. There's enough evidence. For example, I'm a supermodel. I don't care about the physiological. I want to squeeze myself skinny so that I can look nice. That means I go further upstream without even worrying about the bottom stream. That itself is a problem from a Maslow hierarchy on this angle. But I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that a lot of people even talks about it. Some business professor talks about it. But if you understand what I just now talked about, right? What do you think is the problem with Maslow hierarchy of needs? This is just to make sure whether you pay attention. No what? No community. So what does it mean? It means that the highest level should not be self. You know what happens when you put highest level self, right? Two things happen. They took God out of the picture. That's not bad enough. They took the fact of community out of the picture. And this is very typical of the Western mindset. No longer God, and everything revolves around myself. And that's why Maslow hierarchy of needs doesn't make sense from a theological angle. You can still use it in business school. You can still try to understand people, but you are two steps away from the ideal, which is God and communities. Even if you don't want to talk about God, you should still talk about communities. And there's nothing wrong for you to talk about God. In the words of my ethical professor, there's always a God in each of our life. It's just which God do you serve? Are you a God of money? Are you a God of intelligence? There will always be a God. Why should we take our God, big G, out of the picture when many people bring their small g into the picture? And we mustn't ever forget it, because once you take God out of the picture, then you take community out of the picture, you have good theories called Maslow hierarchy of needs, but doesn't make sense from a biblical angle. Okay? So with that, I should end, because I'm reminded of the time too. And Daniel keep on telling me I need to have some Q&A. Okay, Daniel.
Thank you. Give me a round of applause. Thank you. I'll just ask him a couple of questions. Define for me identity. What's identity? Definition. Psychologist. I stand here, I need to read my book. You stand there. You stand.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, feedback.
Feedback. What's identity? My turn to take revenge. Ask me so many questions.
My answer to you is simply this. So after going through, what is your answer of identity? You should be able to answer that question.
I've been reading this book. I tell you, I read a lot. Silas, I'm reading George Yeo. Okay? I read so much, I can't believe myself. George Yeo is writing 3 books. This is the first part. Go to Kinokuniya. I always tell people, nowadays, Karen and I, we support bookshops. Actually, you can buy from Amazon, but we refuse. We go bookshops. I don't want the bookshops to die. Everywhere you go, God, nice cafe, nice this, nice that, but the bookshops are dying. So can we buy books? When you read more, you become more knowledgeable. Let me tell you about George Yeo. And George Yeo is, I think, Roman Catholic. He cited Archbishop William Goh, and William Goh, I understand now, is been promoted.
Hey, by the way, the trend is not true. Not every country books are dying. UK is one of the few countries that book sales have increased drastically.
That's good to hear, man.
Yeah, but we wonder why, lah. We don't know.
He was quoting Archbishop William Goh, who says that if we do not know our own identity, we cannot respect the identity of others. If we are insecure of our own identity, we become uncomfortable with the strength of another person's identity. Any comments to what William Goh said? I'll read it more time. If we do not know our own identity, we cannot respect the identity of others. If we are insecure of our own identity, we become uncomfortable with the strength of another person's identity.
So what's your question?
Any comments to what William Goh said? This is George Yeo commenting on William Goh.
This is the answer. We are created in his image and his likelihood. I don't need to say all the time. I'm just letting you all sink in and read. And you all actually read it just now. You know what does it mean, right? Image, right? You are like God. No other creatures are looks like God. Even the angels are envious. Go and Google it, you can see it. What does it mean to be in our likeness? That means that we have the characteristics of God. What's the characteristic of God? It's not to do no harm. Is to do good. If you talk about ethics, the most important thing about ethics is actually the two commandments, love God and love your neighbor. What does it mean in simpler term or layman term? It's basically be good and do good, not do no harm. Do no harm is one level below do good. So that's what we were, that's our identity up there.
This is what George Yeo himself says, I must first know who I am and be comfortable with my own identity. Only then am I able to appreciate others who are different from me. Curiosity begets curiosity. When we deny a person's identity, they become upright and angry. When we acknowledge it, they become relaxed and they may be able to even joke about it.
And that reminds me of what I shared with you all before, right? What did our God do in terms of naming the animals? He let men do it. Do we respect the identity of each person, or do we say we are the smarter one, let me get the things done for you? So that is the biblical context of that sentence too.
He also mentioned in this book, which I thought was interesting, he was talking about how we have this woke culture, nowadays we have this woke culture, Lawrence, woke, very triggered. The question was asked to him, can we ever be too sensitive? What is an ideal Singapore to you? He says, yes, of course, we can be too sensitive. This is my gripe with the woke culture which is creeping into our own society. If we are overly sensitive to slights, even when we are not intended, we will gradually start to fray. I like this. Too much political correctness is suffocating. We become hypocrites. Not really on point with identity, but sometimes I think his point is that we are just too careful of being politically correct, then we become so stifled in what we do. But I don't know. I mean, I go to Philip, I'll just joke with him and I call him Ane. But you can't go to anybody out there and call him Ane when he's Indian. If he goes out there, you'll go and see a lawyer called Daniel Goh and then you sue him for calling him names. And I heard, was it not Karen who told me in New York, is there a student who sued the New York University professor? Why? Because the exams are too hard. Come again? Because the students complained that the exams were too hard. So the university in New York fires the professor because some students complained that the exams were too hard. Last week, Silas talked about the fact that, you know, he's very anal, he follows, very organized, and Hong Yi was saying very good test, very good preaching, right? And then Silas was saying, but there's someone else who likes to shoot all over the place. Let's be very clear. He was talking about me. But sometimes when we look at some things, we need to be holistic, right? So as we talk about identity, we also need to know that as a Christian, I tell you, when I heard that about university, I was so flummoxed. Can you imagine if you're an employer, and we're all marketplace people, and we, with that identity being God's child, we don't protect our own creed. Can you imagine if we need you have someone, and then someone takes pot shot at your subordinates, and they jige say le tai chi? Or Ken, Kurt has a team of agents, and some of them is in trouble for whatever. We just leave them to die. And then they're sued, and they lose their tenure in the university. I thought that was something that I wanted to just share.
So let me add on to that as well. And again, you realize that this is not scripted, right? Because I didn't even know what he wants to say as well. I teach at the university. And I think that some professors should be removed too. Because we do not know the context of that story, right? It could be that 90% of his students fail. And that doesn't make sense too, as well, right? So whenever we are sure of our identity, we don't overreact because we know that it's better to understand the context first. Otherwise, you'll be like a headless chicken, right? What's the difference between you and another Christian or another person out there? Because my identity lies in what? Image and likelihood. And our God is a God of patience. If our God is foolhardy, I guarantee you all of us are dead by today because he can't stand sin at the slightest point. So be like God. Be good and do good.
So can I just clarify? You did this four-step thing. Are you saying that previously when you did your career counselling, you started with, tell me your skill set first and then we try to fit your vocation?
Yeah.
So when did that light bulb moment come, and what caused you to change and flip now and go from left to right instead of right to left?
Because I started my course on theology of work.
And what was it that caused you to have that? If you could just summarize that 360, the 180 degree turn, which is a very interesting turn, which I agree to, but what was that caused you? What was it? Because we are always, right, Don, you want to hire somebody? What's your skill set? You good at math, okay? Teach math. You know that kind of thing?
Or you're good with children, let's go and send you to children ministry.
Yeah. So what is it that, what was that light bulb movement? And with that I end.
I don't have a light bulb moment. My teacher just taught me. And then I just apply it. So it's as simple as that. My teacher was talking about it and he was explaining it from an academic point of view. I said, okay, that's very interesting. He didn't use exactly the way I said it, but that's how I am gifted, because I am gifted because as I learn, I can apply straight away. So, and I'm willing to apply straight away. So straight away, I just took his concept and applied it and I saw the results and I just continued. That's all. There's no aha moment. Don't need everything to be aha. Just simply, as a lot. Tissue, because sometimes knowledge just comes by talking, right? I hope there's no aha moment in the conversation I talk to you. If there is, maybe it's good for you to go back and read the Bible again. But if there is, then make sure it stays with you. Otherwise, it becomes like the parable of the seeds, right? Falls, and then somebody takes it away. Please don't. I think that's the most important. Use it, and psychologists has proven it. The faster you use it, the faster it retains in your head. That's all. It's as simple as that. Why am I sharing with you all this? Because he insists that I must share from a psychological anger beside a Christian anger as well. Any more questions, Daniel?
No, thank you so much. Can we just round of applause again, once again to him?
Thank you.
I like Hong Yi for saying that 5-point thing. I can't remember the slide. Number one, can I call up the slide again, Philip? I'm so sorry. The five-pointer thing. Let me call it up. And he asked that question quickly. Yeah. Yeah, the 5 points. The purpose. What was your question when you flashed that? What was the question again? Can't remember. There was a question about Tower of Babel, I think. Tower of Babel, we did everything, but what was it that we didn't do and what's the difference? You know, my answer would have been we didn't worship God. Because Tower of Babel, you did everything else, right? You worked. You make decisions on behalf of God because they said, wow, like that, I tell you what, why don't we do this? Silas and Winnie, we build this thing. We build all the way up. Lawrence and, can't remember your wife's name. Daphne. And Kelly. Tower of Babel was a situation in Genesis 11 whereby all the believers came together and said, let's do this. Let's build a tower. And Mike, please.
Mike.
Yep,
it's
it.
Not believer, it's everyone.
Everyone,
move
come together,
as one.
Let's move as one and build something so that what the ostensible purpose is to try to reach God. It's almost like building an endless staircase, the flight of steps. So they made decisions on behalf of God. They had interrelation with each other and they were very united, which was all good things. It's very good. Yeah. And then you want to reproduce, carry on a legacy, because if you do it right, everybody, after that, everybody can reach God. Now the purpose sounded right. But the only problem was, God was not part of the entire discussion. Now, that's something I think we need to learn. as marketplace people. You can plan everything. Okay, let's Silas engineer. Okay, we're going to take over this bank. We buy this for 300 million. We do this shareholder preferential voting, Series A, Series B, Series C. Everything planned properly. Oh, okay, Gan, let's talk about this. We want to build a church. We want to do this. But everything is planned on a human level. But God was never part of the equation. Now, that was the problem. And I equate God not being part of the equation with not worshipping God. Because if you worship God, you would have Him uppermost in the inner recesses of your mind and therefore in your spirit as you execute. So I thought it was a very good and interesting point that he raised. And that I felt was something I wanted to do today as we undergird this whole entire series about identity. I like the fact that he brought in, we need a psychologist because psychologists, they know how the mind works. And more often than not, when we hire someone, it's the other way around, right? Let's hire based on skill set. So Kurt, you want an agent, right? Maybe hire, maybe agent needs to be able to take rejection. So find an agent will be someone who is thick-skinned enough. Hire me, I'm very thick-skinned. Anytime you say no, I still carry on. Or is it someone you hire who comes to you and say, just like Joe came to me, hey, Daniel, I need to speak to you. I think God is telling me to become a full-time staff. Does she look like she's trained to be an administrator of a church? She's not. But guess what? Along the way, she picks up things and God started to endow her with gifts. Can she add on? Sorry, Philip. He's very difficult. I won't invite him again. It's okay. One time only. Not kidding.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
But your example is an example of what we mean by when you do the work and the vocation right, your skills will be manifested. Too many times we think that because we work at it, it becomes my skill, that's why I can do the vocation. Skills becomes the king of your life, but actually it's not. It's because as you choose to trust God for the identity that He's given to you, and you go by faith to execute the task, right, then you will find out the skills that is given to you as well. That's why the order of it is this order. Communities will give you identity. Identity will give you your vocation. In example, you give your Jo, right? She decided to do it. And then in the end, her skills or her talents start manifesting.
Praise God. I would invite Karen and Silas to come lead us to worship. And interestingly, there's only one song we're going to sing. What's the title of the song? Here to Worship. Here to Worship God. And as they get ready, I end with this again, George Cho's book. Most of all, he says we need to have a big heart and a big mind. In the Ming Romance, the water margin, what's it called? Sui Hu Zhuan. A band of rebels led by a historical figure, his name is Song Jiang. He sought refuge in a mountain called Mount Liang. Liang Shan, right? Liang Shan. At the time, the leader of Mount Liang was small-minded. He was very small-minded. He told Song Jiang, that the mountain was too small and he tried to wave Song Jiang's little group on. He told him, hey, too small, you don't come. So in response, Song Jiang decided to take over the mountain himself. And under this leadership, there were never enough heroes on the mountain. Much of the story was about how he persuaded many like Wu Song, who beat the tiger, right, to join him. The 108 outlaws of the marsh, a truly diverse bunch, have since captured popular imagination in China. George Joe says, Singapore is of comparable size and should do likewise. Why am I bringing this up? I feel like in the church, our job is to raise everybody up. So we have all kinds of heroes. We are not small-minded. We come with a big heart and a big mind. We build a church. And I think that imagery is also the same with that the castellar we talk about, right? We just build everything. Everybody stand shoulder upon shoulder. Everybody step up. I like that. Under his leadership, there were never enough heroes. Joe is a hero to me. TG, you married very well. You lucky son of a god. Right? You thought I would say some of her. Even the language we can redeem, isn't it? But that's the church, Lawrence. And Lawrence, the next time you come again, right? You will come again, I tell you. Because we already kidnapped your childhood. The next time I come, I want to speak sometime whereby there's God and there's humor. I will make sure, though. Half the people don't come to church because they find church very stifling. But church doesn't have to be stifling. We know when to be serious. We know when to have fun. We know to have drinks. We know to have good food. But we know how to yet at the same time be serious about God's word. Make no mistake, when you look at Genesis as fleshed out, the word of God, you cannot subtract, you cannot add. That's the word of God. Full stop. I'm going to ask Silas to just lead us in the time of worship as I sing with him. Can we all stand before the Lord? Okay, we didn't plan this, but I saw the first bullet point. Worship God. When we begin to worship God, something happens. And as we do the things of God, you know, God will bless. I mean, he's also like a football, like me. Every Saturday, supposed to play 5 to 7. And this week, he came here thinking that he won't play football. You know why? But guess what? For some strange reason, this week, his football starts at 7. So I tell you, when you do God's work, God will take care of you. You understand? He's supposed to play football, so he sacrificed to come here thinking he sacrificed, but God already engineered. Today, not sui sui. Luckily for him, after this 6:30, he need to rush and play football. But I can tell you, I'm a better footballer than him. Take it from me. But that's not the point. The point is, we are brothers in Christ. Amen? Let's worship God. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Sing together, Lord, say, here I am to worship. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to be. King of all days, King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you come to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, sing to the Lord. Worship, sing, here I am to worship, here I am. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Never know. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon. I'll never know. To see my sins upon that cross, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say, here I am to bow down, here I am.
together worthy, all together lovely, all together wonderful to me.
Father, thank you as we come and bring this service to an end. We'll never know how much it costs that you sent your Son with only one mission, to come so that all that my brother talked about, the redemption purpose, has begun. So, Father, we thank you. I pray for you, if you don't know Christ, that Lord, give my brother and sister here a new identity. A new identity found not in a pink IC, a new identity found in God. So, Lord, strengthen the faith of the people of God that represented you. And for those who do not know you, may this be a day of reckoning, so that, Lord, their hearts are open to receive from you. So, Lord, bless your people tonight as they leave this place. Father, thank you for the children. On Children's Day, we may bless every single child, every son, every daughter, be it studying in England or back in the children's service today. Lord, bless them, use them, the next generation. Lord, forge identity in the names of the child, every single one of them, so that, Lord, they'll do the work of the kingdom. Father, thank you. Until we meet again, may church begin on a Monday in the marketplace, so that, Lord, with that assurance and confidence in the identity that we have in you, may we make a difference in the kingdom. Father, thank you. We bless you. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. You're dismissed. Thank you. God bless you.